out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday the 5th of September 2019 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, this podcast is being pre-recorded today, so we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to have a narration for today and it's going to be in two parts. It will be, the second part will be on Monday, and this is actually a speech that was given by Joseph Goebbels, and it was delivered in Nuremberg on September the 10th, 1936, at the 8th National Socialist Party Congress. It's entitled Bolshevism in Theory and Practice, and it begins with a quote, actually from Joseph Goebbels. Lenin, the founder of the Bolshevik Revolution, stated frankly that falsehoods are not only justified, but have proved to be the most effective tools in the Bolshevik struggle. And it begins with, My Führer, Your Excellencies, my honourable guests, fellow members of the National Socialist Party, the fact that the phenomenon of Bolshevism, as represented by the theory of Marx and put into practice by the Russian Soviet state, is still engaging the attention of political circles in Western Europe as a theoretical phenomenon and a political reality which civilized people ought to take into account intellectually as well as politically, shows that there is a fatal lack of insight into the nature and essential structure of international Bolshevism. What is called Bolshevism has nothing whatsoever to do with what we understand by ideas and an outlook on life or Weltanschauung in general. It is nothing but a pathological and criminal kind of madness devised by Jews, as can well be proved, and led by Jews who aim at destroying the civilized nations of Europe and at founding a Jewish international world regime that would subject all nations to their power. Bolshevism could have had its origin only in the Jewish brain, and the sterile asphalt of the metropolis alone made it possible for this thing to grow and spread. It could only be accepted by a species of mankind that had been morally and economically shattered by the war and the economic crisis which followed. On such people it was let loose, and was acceptable to them because its criminal and crazy doctrine appealed to them. Though superfluous, it may here once again be emphasized that we National Socialists, in fighting this world peril as mercilessly as we did from the very first hour of our political activity up to the present, have not defended anti-socialist or even pro-capitalist interests. Our struggle against Bolshevism is no fight against, but in favor of, socialism. Our attitude grew out of a deep conviction that a true and genuine socialism can only be realized if its lowest and most ill-born offspring, Jewish Bolshevism, would have been done away with. The fight against Bolshevism can only be carried through to a successful issue by a people that has found a new structure for its folk life, which is adequate to the dynamic values and standards of the 20th century. A socialist structure in a national form. The bourgeois middle classes of all nations have proved to be impotent in dealing with Bolshevism and are unfitted for the fight against it. They have not yet even gained a clear insight into the principles which inspire and direct Bolshevism. They lack the spiritual quality, the principled conscience, political faith and moral strength of character that alone would enable them to face it. But not only do they lack the necessary insight, they even attempt to compromise with Bolshevism whenever an opportunity arises so as to prevent an even greater evil. But every pact which the bourgeois world contracts with radical Bolshevism will finally lead to a victory of Bolshevism over the bourgeois world because of the natural law according to which the stronger will always prevail over the weaker. Bolshevism has at least one very definite advantage over all other groups that hold political power, excepting those who face it with absolute and downright opposition. It mobilizes recklessly the lower grades of mankind, which exist among the dregs of every nation, and are opposed to the state and the ideas which sustain it. It is the organization of the lowest instincts of a people aiming at the destruction of all productive and valuable elements in a race. It usually seizes upon a group that holds political power, which is based upon a brutish minority, and which is determined to reach its final political aim with unscrupulous and criminal tactics. But the Bolshevik readiness for tactical compromises must not be taken as a willingness to compromise as far as their principles are concerned. At bottom, Bolshevism knows no compromise. If it makes a compromise, that is only done for one reason: to use it as a means to seize unlimited power. It does not hesitate to cut the throats of those who have helped it to gain power after they have gained it. Not a very alluring prospect for those bourgeois politicians of some of the West European states who still believe that the sting may be taken from Bolshevism by the tamer Front Populaire. Bolshevism is the dictatorship of the inferior. It seizes power by means of falsehoods. It maintains power by means of force. To be able to combat it, one must know it thoroughly, and one must have penetrated into its deepest secrets. The more worthy forces of a nation have to be mobilized to exterminate it, since it is the organization of everything that may be called the anti-racial forces of the people. There is one sphere in particular wherein Bolshevism has shown its mastery, that of negative propaganda. It gains a foothold among the nations by means of lies and hypocrisy. It aims at presenting a garbled picture of the nature and inner form of this political madness. Lenin, the father of the Bolshevist revolution, stated frankly that falsehoods are not only justified, but are proved to be the most effective tools in Bolshevist struggle. Schopenhauer has said that the Jews are masters of lies, and therefore it is no surprising fact that Bolshevism and Jewry here meet in close kinship. Jewish Bolshevism is a past master in the manipulation of lies. Decent and truthful people are so stunned by this method that they are incapable of offering inner resistance. That is just what the Jewish Bolshevists have been aiming at. They speculate on the incapacity of the average truthful person to imagine that it is even possible to lie with such bold and brazen-faced nonchalance as they lie. It is possible to lie like that. Bolshevism has shown it to be possible, and it has been successful in surprising and winning over many unsuspicious people. In accordance with the very nature of Bolshevism, its propaganda is international and aggressive. It aims at the radicalization of all the nations of the world to bring about anarchy and Bolshevism. It has got tremendous supplies of funds at its disposal, which are unlimited, because the Bolshevik dictators unscrupulously starve the entire Russian people in order to spend the money for this purpose. This kind of propaganda is particularly insidious for outside countries because it is supported by the communist parties of those countries, by the respective foreign sections of the Comintern. The communist parties outside of Russia are nothing but foreign legions of this Comintern. With their support, Bolshevism organizes and lays out ingenious plans of international sedition, which are very difficult to attack, because they have their roots in the political and national life of the respective nations. It must be estimated as the most threatening peril to a state to allow the existence of a domestic party which takes its orders from the authorities of a foreign country. Experience shows that countries where a strong communist party exists are more or less subject to the dictates of Stalin with regards to their home, social, economic, military, and foreign policy. When concluding a treaty, one of the Western European great powers had, for example, to make the request first that the communist party that exists on its own soil should be ordered from Moscow to stop undermining the army and vetoing the credits for military purposes. The communist sections in the various countries are ordered to prepare and to carry through the Bolshevik Revolution. They are supplied with abundant funds, unequaled anywhere else, to carry on this ingenious propaganda for which Moscow has laid out the model. This propaganda has only one object and purpose. It aims at deceiving the other nations as to the true nature of Bolshevism, and either to prevent the leaking out of facts from Soviet Russia, or to falsify them, so that they lose their value as reliable news. The reason for such a policy is that the Soviet Union cannot allow the truth about its domestic conditions to be known, particularly not in Western Europe, with its more civilized and intelligent citizens. The poison of the Bolshevik theory may be alluring and enticing, but Bolshevism in practice is terrible and horror-striking. Its way is marked by mountains of skeletons. An ocean of blood and tears floods that unhappy tract. Human life has lost all value. Terrorism, murder, bestiality, these are the trails that characterize every Bolshevik revolution, whether it be successful, as in Russia, or fail and be suppressed, as in Hungary, Bavaria, the Ruhr district, and Berlin, or still fighting for power, as is the case in Spain today. When Bolshevism has gained control, it stops worrying about contradictions between theory and practice. Carbines and machine guns then hold the field. But anywhere else outside of its home territory, it uses its ingeniously devised propaganda machinery to deceive the world as to its true nature. Bourgeois people in Europe have not the slightest knowledge of how these facts are proceeding. They try to avoid a decision by mouthing the same phrase over and over again, namely that nobody is allowed to interfere in the domestic affairs of a foreign country. But what is a reality now in Russia, what is fought for and against in Spain, and what is fatally preparing its way in other European states, that is a matter of concern for the whole world. It is no longer a problem that can be dealt with by those who theorize about the various outlooks on life. It is rather a matter of grave concern for statesmen all over the world. They will have to tackle this problem, unless they wish to become responsible for the future development which, because of their negligence, will push Europe into the most severe crisis and eventually into ruin. The problem of Bolshevism as it faces Europe today is a question of to be or not to be. Here and now, the souls of men are ranged on the one side or the other. A definite side will have to be taken, either against or in favour of Bolshevism, and all consequences resulting therefrom will have to be accepted. Another problem must be settled. The problem of the role which Jewry plays in relation to Bolshevism. Only in Germany can it be openly discussed, since it would be dangerous in any other country, as was also the case in Germany not so many years ago, even to mention the Jewry by name. There can be no doubt that Jews are the founders of Bolshevism, and that it is they who represent it. The old leading class in Russia has been so completely eliminated that no other leadership group was left but the Jews. Every conflict within Bolshevism is therefore more or less a family conflict among Jews. The recent executions in Moscow, the shooting of Jews by Jews, can only be understood on motives of thirst for power and determination to destroy all opponents. The belief that Jews are always at perfect harmony with one another is a widespread error. They live in unity only when they form a minority that is kept in control and menaced by a large national majority. In present-day Russia, this is not the case anymore. If Jews have attained power as they exclusively have done in Russia, the old Jewish rivalries begin again, which had been kept in abeyance by the danger threatening their race. The idea underlining Bolshevism, i.e. the idea of unscrupulous disintegration and destruction of decency and culture for the diabolical purpose of destroying the nations, could have been born only in the Jewish brain. Just as Bolshevik practice, with all its horrifying cruelty, is only possible when manipulated by the Jews. In accordance with their nature, these Jews do not show their faces in the open. They work underground, and in Western Europe they try to deny that they have anything to do with Bolshevism. That is the way they have always behaved, and will behave in the future. But we have found them out. And what is more, we are the only people in the world who have the courage to call the attention of mankind to these capital criminals. We are not afraid of any consequences, and call them by their right name. There was a time in Germany when anyone who called a Jew, was sent to prison. But in spite of that, we dared to do it. Even today, the world very often objects, with noble restraint, or even with well-staged moral disapproval, when Jews are called Jews, or Bolsheviks are called capital criminals. But we are convinced that we shall eventually succeed in opening the eyes of the world so as to make them see the true face of Jewry and Bolshevism, just as well as we succeeded in convincing Germany of the perilous parasitic character of that race. In the meantime, we shall not tire of pointing to this fatal danger and appealing to the attention of all the people who are undergoing terrible crises and upheavals, proclaiming, "The Jews are to blame. The Jews are to blame." This charge will be like a lash in the faces of the Jews, distorted as they are by hate. It won't help them either if they try to adopt the camouflage of democratic forms. That method is just a bit too ingenious to impress intelligent people. It is only a ruse to catch the intellectual Philistines. They welcome this slogan because it enables them to fight shy of a decision. This so-called Bolshevik democracy, which some French and English papers have suggested as the prototype and counterpart of the so-called National Socialist dictatorship, is engulfed in terror, blood, and murder. Every few years, the Bolshevik despots proclaim this moth-eaten slogan whenever they feel the necessity of recommending themselves to Europe after a period of brutal terrorism. Then, suddenly, canards are let loose by the communist propaganda bureaus, empty promises that a new constitution will be introduced, that the universal ballot will be granted to Russia. But all these promises are falsehoods, speculating upon the short memories and proverbial mental inertness of narrow-minded Philistines. In reality, Bolshevism is the crassest rule of blood and terror that the world has ever experienced. The Jews have planned it in order to make it impossible for power to be taken out of their hands, and it is Jews who are exercising it. We National Socialists, to justify and consolidate our national power honourably, have appealed to the country again and again, almost year after year, through general elections in which the laws of the secret ballot are observed. Bolshevism talks of people and the country of workers and peasants, but on its face is imprinted the word force. Each person forms for himself a certain idea of Bolshevism. For the most part, this idea is the product of his own brain. Then propaganda comes to his aid. Its means of working forms a picture of Bolshevism according to the mentality of a person or a group of persons or of a nation. It is all artificially managed. There is no real basis of truth in it. It may easily happen that representatives of a great country become enthusiastic about a new subway in Moscow, which would attract no attention whatsoever in another large city. When the Bolsheviks welcome the stranger with the strains of his own national anthem, these strangers, without any rational reason whatsoever, discard their former ideas about Bolshevism and make friends with it. The Red Jews in Moscow know how to handle their dupes. It is permissible to imagine how they mock and ridicule the attitude of the bourgeois world that is thus created. Therefore, they are very furious with us, because we have recognized them and are bent upon shattering to its very foundations the picture of Bolshevism that is widely prevalent in Europe. Their hate against us is illimitable. It is one of the best and most honourable tributes to the character of our political struggle. We tear the mask from their faces and show them to the world in their true appearance. It has already been stated that the concept which various people and nations form of Bolshevism is a special outcome of Bolshevik propaganda. A great part of the art of deception consists, for instance, in making people believe that the Moscow government has nothing at all to do with the Comintern. That is about the most barefaced and brazen swindle that can be imagined, because there is only a division of administration between the Soviet government and the Comintern. But to think that one is independent of the other would be like believing that the National Socialist Movement has nothing to do with the National Socialist Government. Bolshevik propaganda operates on a broad scale. Its purpose is to bring the world to destruction. In foreign countries, it is mistakenly interpreted. These naive people who accept it are generally the most naive of the naive, but they exist and they have a certain effect of their own. Bolshevism in practice is something different. There it is, and you cannot deny what it does. In blood, it has traced its fearful march. Its intention is to bring the whole world into its chaotic mess. It signifies the great attempt of Judaism to bring the nations under their own power. Therefore, the fight against this danger is, in the truest sense of the word, a world fight. It was begun in Germany and has been fought out on German soil. Adolf Hitler is the historic leader in this campaign. We are all his representatives, and therewith we are the apostles of a great historical mission. There can never be a compromise between the two extremes. Bolshevism must be exterminated if Europe is to regain its normal state of health. But the Jews know exactly what is about to happen. In one of their last efforts, they have striven to mobilize all the forces of the world against Germany. They want to strengthen their power by a feverish rush of armament. In National Socialist Germany, they see a constant danger to their own existence. In Russia, Judaism has established a home for itself, which they never thought would be endangered. Up to 98%, it represents the new bourgeois class among the Soviets. Knaves, fatlings, dissemblers, intriguers and plotters, backslappers and frivolous people. These Jews, who have now attained high positions, are able to exercise their petty swindles over a large-scale area on 160 million people. They are ruthless tyrants, absolutely without principle. They inflict themselves on the people like a universal scourge, the purpose of which is to spread catastrophe. I have already laid stress on the fact that Bolshevik propaganda is sufficiently astute to adjust its teaching to its hearers. It can be radical or moderate to suit the occasion. When the terrorist Dmitriev speaks before the Comintern, the attitude is different from that which Litvinov adopts before the League of Nations. The Bolshevik propaganda may be religious or anti-religious to suit the circumstance. It is utterly without conscience, and all means are justified by the ends that they serve. All over the world, this propaganda has at its disposal a complex machinery, which is made up of the communist sections in the various countries. It only needs to press a button in order to put this machinery into operation. In every country, it operates either secretly or in the open. Woe to the nation that allows it to function. One day that nation will be undermined by this seditious activity and will be disrupted, merely because this phenomenon has not been seriously taken into account. We National Socialists are in the happy position that we have no need to mince our words when we speak of Bolshevism. We do not speak the language of the secret cabinets. We speak the language of the people, and therefore hope that the people of outside nations will understand us. We are lucky enough to be able to call things by their names, and we feel bound to do so, for the world must have its eyes opened. We cannot, and we must not, be silent in the face of this danger that menaces Europe. It is incumbent on the nations and their governments to make their own decisions, but it is the right and the duty of every individual whom nature has endowed with the gift of insight and the power of self-expression to proclaim his opinions and convictions, to point the finger to forthcoming catastrophes, and to voice the needs of the time. To dally with Bolshevism spells ultimate ruin. Therefore, we take the opportunity of this party congress to ring the alarm against this world danger. I have taken this opportunity of pointing out what Bolshevism is in actual practice, to unmask its teaching, and therewith we are helping towards the understanding of the history of our own times, which has to be learned and must not be forgotten. And I will continue with this tomorrow. Thank you very much for listening. God bless, and hail victory.